The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas, adapted for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. Pierre Gaudet has brought Dr. Curet across from Paris to the little village in the Corsican mountains, where Madame de French's son Louis lies between life and death. Later, Pierre leaves the sick room to see Madame and tell her of the doctor's verdict. He tells her that the doctor says Louis de Franchi will recover, but he will be practically an invalid for the rest of his life.
An invalid? My poor son Louis, who came to Corsica strong, vital, will be an invalid for the rest of his life?
Yes, Madame.
I am punished for my efforts to hide him from the world. You realize that, Monsieur Gaudet? When the two boys were born, I asked Jupiter to smuggle him away to France so that he would not fall to the Gedici knife. I little realized he would come back and be smashed like this with a Gedici lash.
It's not only the lash, madame. The boy has a broken heart. He has no spirit, no will to get better. The doctor realizes that.
Poor Louis. Poor, poor Louis. Oh, I hate them, the murderous Gedici. Monsieur Gaudet, I swear to you that if ever I see a Gedici anywhere, at any time, I will shoot him dead. As for Marianne, heaven help her if she ever comes my way.
Well, that is not likely.
You do not know the truth of it, Monsieur Gaudet. I truly believe that Marianne is a witch.
A witch? Oh, madame, surely you don't believe such things.
But I have spoken of it before to you. She has tried to weave my other son, Lucien, in a spell. You see, she is very beautiful, dangerous. Like this Parisian woman who broke Louis' heart. Marianne would not hesitate to Judas kiss and then slit the throat.
Oh, if only there weren't a vendetta. Wouldn't you feel more peaceful in your mind, madame?
Never. Perhaps you do not know the true story of the beginning of the vendetta between the Gedici and the De Franchi.
No.
It happened many, many years ago, several centuries. And from then until now, bitterness upon bitterness has been piled.
What actually happened, madame?
You have seen the ruins on the summit of the mountain.
Yes.
That is where the famous Savilia, widow of Lucien de Franchi, lived. She was the common ancestress of us all. It is a terrible story, monsieur.
I'd like to hear it, madame.
Not far away, if you travel north, you will find the ruins of another castle, which 3 centuries ago was called the Castello de Valais. It was there that Signor de Gedici dwelled, a man as much hated as Savilia was loved, and as ugly as she was beautiful. It so happened that this Signora de Gedici fell in love with her, and as she was in no hurry to respond to his love, he warned her that if she did not agree to accept him as her husband, in a given time, he would take steps to carry her off by force. By force.
Oh, madame, with the laws as they are today, that would never happen.
Our ancestress, Savilia, pretended to yield and invited the Gedici to come and dine with her. Overjoyed and forgetting that he had only attained this gratifying result by the help of threats, the Gedici proceeded to keep the appointment, attended only by a few retainers. The door was closed behind them, and 5 minutes later, the Gedici was shut up, a prisoner, in our own castle dungeon.
I see. And she had this Gedici killed, and thus began the feud.
Not quite. There is something more terrible to come. Every morning and evening, Savilia used to go down to the dungeon, adjoining the one in which the Gedici was shut up, and there, separated from him merely by bars, she would taunt him with her beauty. She would ask him how a man as ugly as he was could ever suppose that he would be master of beauty such as hers.
Good heavens.
This torment went on for 3 months, twice each day. But at the end of that time, Gedici bribed a servant to make his escape. He then returned with his vassals, far outnumbering those of Savilia, stormed the castle, and having in his turn seized Savilia, imprisoned her in an iron cage in an open crossway of the forest called Boccia di Galaccio, offering the key of the cage with his own hand to any of the passers-by who chose to go inside and whip her for sport. At the end of 3 days, Savilia was a corpse.
Oh, madame.
That is how hate for the Gedici first started. And it has gone on through the years, the centuries. And now, with one son in invalid, there is only myself and Lucian to fight them.
If you only knew it, you fight a losing battle, madame.
A losing battle? Never. No matter how many Gedici there are on this island, we will fight and win. I hate them all, with all that is in me to hate. And now that Louis has suffered at their hands, I will not rest until their blood is drawn once again.
Good evening, sir.
Oh, good evening.
I know it is too early this evening. You've been standing here in the bow of the ship ever since she put out from Toulon.
Yes.
Going to Corsica for a holiday?
No. Corsica is my home.
You sound bitter for a young man.
Perhaps I am.
Perhaps you did not like Paris, eh? Perhaps you were glad to go home to your wife.
To my wife? I am not married, monsieur.
No? Oh, but perhaps there is plenty of time. Me, I did not marry till I was 25. No, 26 to be correct. I was married the day after my 26th birthday.
I will never marry.
Now, that is strange talk for a man like you. A man with fine bearing. You have perhaps been crossed in love?
Not exactly, monsieur. I am in love.
You are in love, and yet you said that you will not marry.
I cannot marry.
Oh, she's already married. Is that it?
No. It is more serious than that, monsieur. But if you have no objections, I would rather not speak of it. Rather would I look into the darkness to Corsica. That must be my wife. Corsica. Its mountains, its rivers, its snow-capped peaks, its people, and its vendettas.
As Lucien strains his eyes in the darkness, looking towards his birthplace, his thoughts fly to the south and to Marianne. In the great stone house of the Gedici, there has been unrest and discord since the sensational episode of the flogging. Marianne, after blackmailing her father into setting Louis free, has not spoken to him all these weeks, nor he to her. The lame explanations made to the rest of the Gedici family have been unsatisfactory, and this has strained relations even further between father and daughter. Marianne's uncle Pietro is striving to make peace between the two without any success. And finally, on this same evening, when Lucien stands in the bow of the ship looking towards Corsica, Pietro knocks on the door of Marianne's bedroom.
Come in. Oh, it is you, Uncle Pietro.
Yes, Marianne.
What do you want?
Marianne, I think it is time you and I had a long, long talk. Marianne, you must take someone into your confidence. You have some secret worry. There's something on your mind. You trust me.
I don't want to talk.
I am your uncle. I've watched you grow from a little girl. I've always felt that I've known you, Marianne, as well as anyone in Corsica. Until you... Well...
Until I made Father set Lucien de Franchi free?
Yes. Oh, why did you do this thing? You hate the de Franchi as much as we do. Why did you do this thing?
You heard. Father told you.
But I cannot believe that you would love a de Franchi.
Uncle Pietro, I begin to realize that we have no choice in the matter where love is concerned. Lucien de Franchi is our hated enemy. Lucien de Franchi told me he loved me.
What?
That was when he lay here ill, after he had been stabbed in the valley below Mount Santos. When he came back, that is, when you and Father brought him back from Ariaccio by force, he was a changed man. He pretended that the words of love that were spoken between us had never been. He pretended that he didn't know me. I realize now that he pretended only to love me so that he could escape. I hate him. I hate him.
And yet you made your father let him go free.
I couldn't stand it, Uncle Pietro. I just couldn't stand it to see him being flogged.
Marianne, look at me. Tell me the truth. In spite of what he did to you, in spite of his denying you the second time, you don't hate him, do you?
I do. I do.
You don't. You're trying to blind yourself to the fact. As you said yourself, you have no choice in the matter where love is concerned. You love him even now.
Oh, Uncle Pietro, what is the use of loving him? He hates me. He only used me so that he could escape that first time.
Has it occurred to you that he might have denied you because of the vendetta? Has it occurred to you that he might even love you as you love him? But in his heart he realizes it is so hopeless.
I have often wondered, Uncle Pietro. And yet he wouldn't talk of it this second time. It was just as though it had never happened.
Yeah. The ways of love are strange. I've come to you tonight, Marianne, to find out what your true feelings are about Lucien de Franchi. And now I have something to say that will surprise you.
What is it, Uncle Pietro?
I know that you love this enemy of ours. It is also possible that he might love you. If such were the case, there might be peace on this island for now and for always.
You mean...
I am wondering if the impossible could happen. I am wondering if Marianne Guidici and Lucien de Franchi could marry and thus end a vendetta which has brought pain, cruelty, and agony to us all for centuries.
Instinctively, Marianne knows that Lucien loves her. But she is ignorant of the fact that it was Louis who was captured in Ajaccio and who was brought to her father's house. Will she discover the true cause of the change of face which she imagines has been effected? And what of Madame de Franchi and her bitterness for Marianne? You will hear more of this in the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.